a major ordained part of worship is singing. Just overall music is something that is needed and is placed out there for us to do from God. God kind of sets the foundation to how music works in this. So the name of this order, my steps, is worship in song. We haven't had a chance to do it as much in our church as much as we would like to due to the pandemic. Hopefully people are doing it individually or online. And then as time comes back in, we'll get a chance to do that. But you still should always sing. How does singing work into the worship of God? Well, as we see, first of all, singing is a major part of our ministry. Ephesians 5:19, when you read it, it's not telling us to break out into song like they do on television and stuff like that. It's letting you know it's going to be one of our communication to one another in the body. It says in Ephesians 5:19, speak to one another with psalms. And that's speaking of the poems and stories of old in the book of Psalms is where we get it. And these were poems that were set to music with instruments in the Old Testament. He's saying using those things with hymns. These are religious music put into place, once again, based on Christian values, Christian foundations, Christian worship, Christian praise, and spiritual songs. Things are speaking of spiritual things, understanding what God is saying. They're inside of teaching. In other words, he says, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Music is a major part of how we communicate. It's a great thing that God added. He gave us variety in it. He gave us different things to do with it. And praise God, even today, people have used it in different ways. We're going to talk about how we can really enjoy and embrace the different ways that God has brought and use it to worship Him. You see, you have to understand, creation is always musically praising God. If you just listen, okay, and don't use your definition of music. And this is what really destroys us. And we're going to talk about this. But this, your definition of music, instead of realizing there's music everywhere praising God. It says in Psalm 96:10-13, say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the people with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Watch what he says. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing joy. They will sing before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people in his truth. And they're singing this strongness and this praising God in him. And this is what we want to do, to make sure we're praising him as we see the trees doing it and the mountains doing it and the seas doing it. I mean, there are things that the creation is showing that we need to do and always praising him. That's music. It may not be our definition of music, but it is singing to the Lord. You see, we are to sing glory to God and magnify God to the world. So not only is it to communicate to one another in the body, it's also to communicate to the world. It says in Isaiah 12:5-6, sing to the Lord. So it's showing that we're singing glory to God, and it's also going to show us magnifying to the world. He says, sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. First of all, we got to look at what he has done. Now, a lot of times we take this stuff for granted when we look around at the world because we're too busy looking at what we don't have and what we want. Instead of stopping, being still, and looking at what he has done. It says, watch this, let this be known to all the world. So our songs, and the thing I love about this, because this is almost showing that music is not just made for church service. Okay, this is something that should be put out to the world. He's saying, let this be known to all the world. So it is important for what we may call musical artists. The problem is, musical artists sometimes get pulled into worldly values when it comes to making music. In other words, they do it more for people's enjoyment than to do what the word says. That's something that can be a struggle for them because they don't make as much money, but they have to rely on him in order to worship him. But it says, let this be known to all the world. It says, shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion. for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. So we understand, even as they show the people of old is doing it, this is something we should be expressing and showing to the entire world. Let the world be known. You understand that musical worship can include both singing and instruments. For some odd reason, you have some churches today, and they call themselves New Testament churches or other names, that won't use instruments. Now, I still have yet to find out where the not using instruments come into play of worship. Now, of course, they don't have to if they don't want to, but I want to show you in the Word where it's showing instruments are being used. In Psalm 33:1-3, it says, "Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him, the 10-string lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy." So it's showing that this music all comes into play using instruments. And if you notice, he says play skillfully. So it's talking about musicians, people who have been blessed with the talent to play. By all means, that music, playing to the Lord. When somebody's saying, "I wrote this song," and it may not have words, but I want to express it in song to God. Amen. You praise him with that. So musically worship him with instruments. We are to display our happiness in song. James 5:13, when it says, "Is any one of you troubled? He should pray." Okay, so prayer, of course, is very important to help us to get through our struggles. But watch what he says. "Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise." Now, and he's talking about a true happiness, of course, not a fleshly happiness. When we have a fleshly happiness, it's usually a distorted happiness, an emotional happiness. This is a true blessed happiness. When you have this godly joy that you recognize him, sing songs of praise. When a person is truly happy, I'm talking about happy in the Spirit of God, this person recognizes what's going on. You'll see them going through a troubling time, but for some odd reason, due to their faith in God, there is a joy that they have in him. It says, "Let him sing songs of praise." That is so important, because as a person's watching you go through the storm and you're still singing, what a ministry that is to so many people. And that's what we want to do. Songs really express that. It really shows that joy. Our songs are to praise who he is. Psalm 7:17 says, "I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness." You notice this? It's because of his righteousness, which is the righteousness. Do you understand that? So we're given it because of his righteousness. And watch this. "And we'll sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High." Okay? So we're singing praise to the name, to who he is, so everybody understands he is. You know, in the world today, we kind of just say God. So you have a bunch of religions that are saying they're praying to God. And some people ignorantly say, "Oh, we're all praying to the same God." Well, God makes that clear. No, you're not. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's above every other thing that is called God. There is only one God. And he expresses himself in God's word. Yes, it's narrow-minded because it's narrowly put out there for us to go the right way. Please understand that. So it's important that we praise who he is. Now understand, praising who he is, meaning we have to know who he is. Amen. If you just praise who he is based on you, you're going to say a lot of things that are distorted. We're going to talk about that. But be careful that in praising who he is, you're expressing what the Bible says he is, not your interpretation of who he is. Very important. Then we got to sing of what God does. This is another thing we got to be careful of. When it says in Psalm 105:2, it says, "Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts." Please be careful, because I think in a lot of cases, we'll sing things that we would desire for him to do, not what he has done and or will do. We miss this opportunity of praising God and showing him as he is. I've heard songs sometimes that after a person hears, they come out of it saying, "Oh man, that means he's going to do this for me." And I understand what the song does, but it gives more of a hope and desire instead of an understanding in him, if that makes sense, okay? So when we tell of his wonderful acts, we already go over the things that have already been done. We tell of the ability to do things and what the Bible says he is going to do. So be careful, but we need to express that, but once again, to express it correctly. But the songs are important for us to have these things. We sing of him being just. In Psalm 101, Verse 1 says, I will sing of your love and justice. To you, O Lord, I will sing praise. Now, when he says, I will sing of your love and justice, I think we missed the justice part. See, the justice is saying, don't worry. You know when he says, vengeance is mine, I will repay? Only God is the one who can truly give just justice. As we look at the world today, justice is so unbalanced. And God says he abhors that. I mean, so in other words, even the people that are doing it so unbalanced, they're going to have to pay. So I know we look at societies today and we see it unfairly done. I'm not saying people who do wrong shouldn't get punished, but if you notice it's unfairly being done, the more money you have, what area you come from, it could even be a race thing that plays a part in that, you may get treated differently than the other person that may have more, maybe of another race, maybe of another place, and they may get treated lighter on both doing wrong. That's wrong. But our just God is going to take care of that. Our just God is going to make sure he handles that. He says, I will repay. We must sing of that. That must be in our songs to give the people the understanding of what's going on. It's seen many times in the Old Testament where by sight and right now, it seemed so unfair. And they're absolutely right. But we as Christians got to sing of it, not based on what we see with the excuses given by men, but what God says with the foundation laid by his word. We must give it based on that. Showing him and only him. And then we have to sing of God's, we have to sing of God's love. Now, God's love, God is love. So this is a common theme that has to be in all songs that are put out. Everything that we place out there when we come to sing, his love, and please understand this, his love. 1 Corinthians 13 really lays out that, and if you get a chance, read that. It really puts out the characteristic and the ingredients of God's love. So make sure it's of God's love, not your version of God's love, because usually your version of God's love is a human distorted love, which is not love. You understand that? It's more desire. It says in Psalm 57, 7 through 11, my heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. Now, understanding this, he's putting out there and he's saying, my heart is unwavering. Basically, my heart is committed to you. You know what I mean? I'm not going to budge in what I'm seeing. And he says, I will sing and make music. Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. So he's saying, I'm going to write these songs. I'm going to use instruments. And I will awake. I'll awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. Talked about this earlier. So among other people, to make sure they're hearing how I'm expressing and ministering him in song. I will sing of you among the peoples. Now, this is important, too, because I know we have what we call Christian music and secular music, and we're supposed to be shrewd. If a person does right, he is able to make Christian music in a secular way. Okay. Now, unfortunately, you get the old school ones to say it has to sound this way and it better look like this and it better be called this or else you're worldly and blah, blah, blah. And they mess things up. Why am I saying they mess things up? Because we're supposed to minister to shrewdly. Now, as long as they stay true, and we'll talk about that, then they're doing exactly what needs to be done. We need to get out of our own self-righteous hangups and realize and not miss an opportunity. He says we got to win them in order to win them. You understand that? He says, I will sing among the people. And he says, for great is your love. For great is your love. Now, the emphasis is on his love and how great it is. So I have to understand God's love. And I got to make sure that's what we're singing about. You understand that? Know what his love encompasses, how his love works. See, a lot of people like to call his love unconditional. While the Bible shows no, God's love is God conditional. What does that mean, Pastor? Well, there's certain things that he tells us not to love. He tells us, in fact, not to love the world. Now, I know an easy, wholesome feeling thing is for us to say, I love the entire world. In fact, God so loved the world. But he tells us not to love the world because, unfortunately, our love for the world can hinder us. He's saying the world's going to be destroyed. And in his love, he's trying to bring people out of the world. Don't get us attached to the world. Do you understand that? His love is complex. His love is ever encompassing. It's something that does what it needs to. But God precisely places it where it needs to be. So we got to sing of his great love. And he shows it's reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. So it's showing that we're praising him. But once again, make sure we're praising him in song. Make sure we're praising him, not our version of him. That's where it becomes dangerous. Singing of God being our strength. This is another one that ministers to people when it seems like we're going through stuff and people are like, what's the matter? And when you can sing, it says, sing for joy to God, our strength. Did you catch that? Now, this is important for us because a lot of times we look to our finances. We look to our physical health. We look to our family. We look to certain things down here that are temporary and so uncertain as our strength. We need to hear these songs sometimes to remind us that our focus is sometimes wrong. Okay, because you have a lot of people today who call themselves Christians, but are still focused on these things as their strength. And then one day it's gone. I've seen people who did worldly wise things with their money, for instance. And then you had disaster after disaster after disaster. And next thing you know, all their money is gone. And I've heard them say, I did what I was supposed to. And man, all my money's gone. Why would God do that? And plain and simple, because you were trusting in your money. Understand that my trust has to be in God. So I, instead of me going, God, why did you take it? You go praise God that you allowed me to have it. And you're the one who's taking care of me. That's why it's saying, shout aloud to God of Jacob. Begin music. And that's where in there we're starting the phase and they're making the music to show. Start the song here. It says, strike the tambourine. Play the melodious harp and lyre. It's showing the music needs to start in here for us to just express him. So when we have plenty and when we have less, we are ministering and praising God. Do you understand that? Overall, we're not really supposed to sing of the struggles you're going through, but we're supposed to show we know what is to come. So when I'm going through a storm, I don't praise that I'm enjoying the storm where people won't get necessarily because we don't. That's why he tells you to count it pure joy when you go through trials. Why? Because he gives us what the trials are doing. So when we're going through something, we express our struggles, but we express our struggles knowing of what's to come. Psalm 30, 4 through 5 says, sing to the Lord, you saints of his. So this is talking to the Christians, and he's saying you need to sing to the Lord. Why? Praise his holy name. In other words, make sure you're expressing who he is, showing the world, and expressing this. Now watch this. It says, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. We hear of God's wrath coming, and even that's only going to last a moment. Do you understand that? But we have access to eternity of being in his true favor. Don't get caught up in the world's definition of favor. You got a bunch of people who distorted favor and turned favor into a desired outcome and not a godly outcome. We are looking towards his lifetime, his eternal favor. And that's why it says weeping may remain for a night. So you may go through a season, a time of weeping, of struggle. But it says, but rejoicing comes in the morning. A Christian truly understands what I'm going through is just a moment. But we understand a moment for some may be an hour. A moment may be a week. A moment may be a couple of months. Some may be years. But it's still just a moment when it comes to God. And we rejoice because we understand God's doing it for a reason. Christians understand that he works for the good in all things. So a Christian is singing of what's to come. We're excited in our faith in him, not in our desire in us. We sing not for the struggle itself, but because of the praise of the faith that it shows of what's to come. And then we sing to thank him and to exalt him. So thanking him should be a daily, hourly, minutely thing that we should be doing. Psalm 95, 1-5 says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. All this stuff does also too is it reminds us, because I hear people sometimes they speak of God and you quietly go, well, who are you speaking of? Because that's not what the Bible speaks of. So we need to continually speak of the sound God that the Bible speaks of. It goes on and says, let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and with song. So he wants us to bring that praise. He wants us to bring that to him and thanking him with thanksgiving. Now, too many times we thank him for our desired outcomes, which means We don't thank him when we don't get desired outcomes, right? And we miss it. But a Christian, once again, in his faith, understands even through the struggles, even when he says no, we thank him. Remember, he does everything through his mercy. And what is mercy? Him not punishing us for something we deserve to be punished for. So we're praising him and thanking him, even when it doesn't look like it's a thankful situation. You understand that? We're supposed to give thanks in all situations. It's like a child who truly understands his parent when the parent says no to a request made by the child and the child goes, thank you. You know, I told you about the child when the parent, the one kid went to his friend and said, I wanted to go to this thing with y'all, but my mom and dad said no. And he was angry until the child went, I wish I had parents that love me enough to say no. That's powerful when you think of it. You think of it, it's powerful because they thankfully understand they're doing it because they love me. I want God to say no because he loves me. I want God to say yes because he loves me. Do you understand this? I'm just thanking him. That's why it says in verse 3, for the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are put depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it. His hands formed the dry land. I think sometimes we look at the world and we've allowed science and television and movies to minimize the greatness of what he's done with the world. You know, it blows my mind because we're still trying to go out in space and there's tons of the earth we still have not discovered, believe it or not. There's places deep underwater that we have not reached yet. There's mountains way up high that we have not gotten to. And I'm not saying necessarily to climb up there. I think it could be foolish sometimes for us to just climb, just to climb for the heck of it. But what I'm saying is these wonders that God has made, these wildernesses that God has placed out there, there's things that we don't know exist. And that's so powerful from God. You look how powerful and how great the oceans are, and you sit there and realize he created them. Look at how the lands are so different and how they vary. The song should express that. The movies, I notice how today, especially with technology and with the beauty of music and video, they're able to make music to express and show visuals of what God has done. Simply put, sing his word. That's the main thing we have to measure. Because I know sometimes we emotionally get caught up and we start singing God on how we feel. That's where it can get dangerous. We're going to talk about that. It says in Psalm 119, verse 54, he says, your decrees are the theme of my song whenever I lodge. In other words, whenever I rest, wherever I'm there, the themes of all my songs is your word, is your law. Is the things that you have put into place, your rulings, the things that you have put in your word. It also says in Psalm 119, 172, my tongue sing of your word, for all your commands are righteous. So I want to sing what his word is saying to make sure I'm expressing his word. I know as poets and as people who are musicians, and sometimes we get caught up in our art, and we allow the art to get in the way of praising and showing his word as holy. Remember, this is God's word. This is what God put in place. Understand all together, the church should sing this together. It shows in Psalm 149:1. Sing to the Lord a new song. And that word new comes from the Greek, from the Hebrew root, quadash, which means fresh. It doesn't always mean I have to write a new song every time we sing. It means sing the song as if it's new every time you sing it. You don't just go through the motions of singing song. You get that same praise, that same glory. So when it says sing to the Lord a new song, it means express that maybe same song as if it's the first time you sang it. And that's why it says his praise is in the assembly of the saints. This is very important. And this is why we want to get back to that. So we pray that we can get back to the point where we're not letting or allowing this this pandemic to stop this. So we keep praying about that. But until then, we sing knowing of the same heart that we're singing of him. Now, here's the point I wanted to make when I kept saying we're going to get to this. We got to beware there are foolish songs. Now, Ecclesiastes 7, verse 5 says, it's better to heed a wise man's rebuke than to listen to the song of fools. Now, as the Bible has shown us, when I label somebody a fool, I'm in danger. Okay, because it usually comes from my bias, my ignorance, my just overall misjudgment. When I allow God to do it, His word tells me what a fool is. Now, over the years, I've heard people of telling us what songs not to listen to, and a lot of them were either age bias, culture bias, just overall feeling bias. We let a set of people get together and say, these songs are angelic, and these songs are demonic. And their reasoning would be stuff like, oh, the downbeat is where Satan comes into play, and they have to be harmonic. So only when they have violins, they sound like this. But if they ever have a bass in it, then they're this. Where is that at? And unfortunately, once again, it's a bias that we get caught up in. We got to be very careful on what he's saying here, because the songs of fools can sound like what man says, and it is angelic. There have been some horrible songs that have been written not based on what God is saying, but because of the sound, it sounds godly. We have two sets of music. That's how we have gospel, which is more of a praise and worship, and it really expresses itself. And we have inspirational, which is sometimes more descriptive and more, you know, tuned to wording. And here's the deal. All of us are going to like different types of music. Don't be one of those, because of the music you like, you bash the other type of music. This happens all the time. And unfortunately, just as the church is separated, instead of us celebrating the different cultures that are praising his name using what we just went over, we find like-minded in the flesh instead of being like-minded in the spirit. I may not enjoy or desire as much certain types of music, but man, I can worship what the music is saying. I can give God the glory in the different types that are out there. I glorify him that there is that variety, that that does exist. So I don't want to listen to songs of fools. So I go to his word to find out what is a fool, to make sure that's not what I'm listening to. When the songs are wrong in God's word, when they're catering to emotional things, when they're based on things that man made up, not what God says, please look real close. There's a lot of men today in our age who have made foundations and reasonings on songs that people are using, until we step back and go, where did God say that? That's where it becomes dangerous, when we allow men to set the foundations instead of allowing God. See, it comes down to our heart, because music can readjust and do stuff to your whole purpose and to your spirit. When it says to protect yourself from the effects of dangerous songs, that's why it's part of Proverbs 4:23, when it says above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. You have to understand that in that purpose, if you remember how the power of music, because when David played the harp and it removed that torment of spirit in Saul, we don't realize the wonders of music and what music can do and how music can work. And music can be seductive. Music can be suggestive. So we do got to be careful. Just don't let it come off of your suggestion of what it is. You have some churches that will not play a slow song. I understand that, because the world is taking slow songs and they have used them for sensual reasons. Doesn't mean, because you've seen that, because our minds are warped, that it can't effectively make a nice slow song to minister. They work effectively if done right. You understand this. So a Christian would just focus on God. You pray about it and make sure you don't limit yourself to what the world is doing, but that we express ourselves to win others in this beautiful thing that God has given us. We must make sure the songs are in line with sound doctrine. That's going to be the key, that they must be in line with sound doctrine. Colossians 3:16-17 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, here's the key. You have some people that are artistically strong, and they'll call themselves ministers of music, but a lot of times they're more strong on the musical side, but very limited on the word side. So some of the stuff they write is not in line with the word. That's a problem. Now, as a pastor, I'm responsible for making sure that is not being sung, and we have to filter those out. They have to go if the wording is incorrect. See, because the letting the word dwell in you should be in all teachers. That's why it says, as you teach, while you admonish one another with all wisdom. As we deal with one another, many times you'll hear people do it emotionally, we'll do it judgmentally, we'll do it culturally. We express how we feel towards others, not based on God, but we do it based on how we see it. And that's vain conceit, which we're not supposed to use. But he says also, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Remember we read that earlier? You know what I mean? He's saying, make sure the word is dwelling in you richly. So when you're singing the psalms, you're singing the psalms, not your version of it. When you're singing these hymns, these gospels, inspirationals, you're doing them based on what God's word is saying soundly. Those spiritual songs are fully supported by what God is saying, not your version. It says with gratitude in your hearts. That's that Thanksgiving. So we have to make sure our purpose is showing how much we really show, how we really thank God for what he has done. And then it ends it with, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, when it says do it all in the name, it doesn't just mean I end it with in Jesus' name. It means I do it so it truly represents him. I don't just make a song to make a song. I want to make sure I make a song that represents him. You have songs today that are reaching people, and you have people that are caught up in styles. When hip hop came into the church, it's a form of music and is reaching a group of people. It's fantastic. Give the glory to God. However, because of what we allow, once again, culture and society to do with it and take it, and they've distorted it and only used the distorted one, immediately when we hear it, oh no, you can't use that. Those who are doing it are doing music. Praise God. They're using it in a way to reach others. Let it happen. Praise God in it. Even when they use some of the guitars and the harder music or the heavy metal or what we may call it. I know when we hear those terms, because they're usually have been used for demonic means and things of that sense. But that's what I'm saying. It's when somebody takes something and they use it wrong, it doesn't mean that something itself is wrong. It just means they used it wrong. You as a Christian have to be able to filter and understand what it's doing. Jesus sat among sinners in order to win them. So it doesn't mean I make music in order to please them based on them. We make music when we're in the world in order to minister to them shrewdly. They'll hear a song and go, wow. It was a couple of worldly songs, it's funny, that I remember hearing when I was younger. And they were worldly songs because they were what we called on worldly albums. They weren't the gospel ones. But as I listened to the words and I'm singing along and I enjoyed the melody, and I'd stop and go, wow. Sometimes we miss major opportunities because we get stuck up in our own self-righteousness. Something to think about. Please understand that. This is a struggle for some people because we get caught up on how it makes us feel instead of realizing we may be missing an opportunity. Music is an important and an incredible tool that God has given us. It's also something that's magnificent, that really expresses his variety that he's created in the world, how he's created so many different people, different cultures that we are supposed to celebrate and show. But when it comes down to it, he doesn't just want one group to express. He wants the entire world to praise him, everyone, everywhere. It says in Isaiah 42, 10 through 11, sing to the Lord a new song. Once again, that fresh song that, you know, every time we sing, sing that praise as if it's the first time. His praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea, all that is in it, you islands and all who live in them, let the desert and its towns raise their voices. Let the settlements where Kedar lives rejoice. Let the people of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout from the mountaintops. Let us praise God in song. Let us understand exactly what we're doing. Like with everything else when it comes to God, let us recognize what we're doing and not just go through the motions, not just emotionally do it, but recognize what we're doing and recognize it in him, not in our own definition. Let's praise him in music and in song. Let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, giving you the glory and praise, we thank you, first of all, for blessing us with music, as enjoyable as it is, but also giving it to us as a form of praise to you, and we do praise you, but as ministry to us. Thank you so much, dear God, that you just give us so many tools and so many things to work with. Help us to use this being filtered and through you, and not for us to be self-righteous, to add our own limitations and boundaries out there. I know it gets hard in this world, dear God, because there's so many things that distort and pollute. We want to make sure that we are not getting caught up in these things to really mix us up and distort us. We want to make sure, and we're just praying to you, dear Lord, that the right door opens, and that we can safely get back in church to do this, and that we're doing it in a wise and a safe way, because it's a very important part of the ministry. But once again, thank you for technology, that we may still get the word out, that that's not being limited. But let people hear today, because a lot of us are just going through the emotional moment of religion instead of the spiritual growth that we need to do as a body. We give you the glory, the praise, and honor, dear Lord, and we want to do that not only in word, not only in action, but also in song. We thank you, and we praise you, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.